We turn to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 13 and those first five verses. It does not matter whether the scale of disaster is in the tens, or the hundreds of thousands. The principles of God's dealing with men in those disasters remains the same. And in the few words given to us in the Gospel according to Luke, and only by him, we have these principles set out. Always when there are disasters, there are strident voices of disapproval. The fallen human nature in man does not like to be disturbed from his coziness, but more deeply than that, of course, every man would give anything for his life. And there were clearly strident voices present on that occasion when the Lord was speaking the words that are recorded in Luke chapter 12. It may be that those who were present at that time had on their minds a particular savage act by Pilate. And it may be because these things were burning in their minds that they were scarcely taking much heed to the things that the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. You know, the feeling that if there are burning thoughts, tragic thoughts, difficult thoughts in your mind, it is hard to concentrate on the things of truth. It is hard to get a balance. We speak of things being done when the balance of the mind is disturbed. And there are many, because of our fallen human nature, who will reject God. There are many who will turn against him. There are many who will call him unjust and unfair and out of control, or at least not in control. And one wonders, therefore, what these people were doing. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now, in this incident, Jesus addresses two different types of situations concerning two different places. The one example is brought before him, and the other example he freely gives. So far as tragedy that we meet in the world today of the earthquake and in 2004 of the tsunami are concerned, it would be the principle set forward in verses 4 and 5 that are in question. But it doesn't matter. The issue that Jesus turns it all to is that except people repent, they will all likewise perish. And therefore, it really does not matter what is the ministering cause of any sort of disaster. They all are under the hand of the Lord, and every one of them is dealing with people's souls. One imagines that these people who'd come from Galilee were bitter Galilean fanatics. One imagines that they belonged to the group of zealots which had from time to time caused insurrection and tried to interrupt the Roman peace and quiet across the land. And that is always a double-edged sword. It may be that there were those who thought that they were fighting for their country. It may be there were those who thought that the country's better good would have been better served by peace. But they came to the Lord Jesus, who was brought up in Galilee. And one suspects that they were trying to engineer that he would say something political about Pilate, or something that would avenge the Galileans. And that if he didn't take the side of the Galileans, that he might well be discredited among the people whom he'd been brought up and where he'd done most of his preaching. But as you know, the Lord always gives a wise reply. No man ever spake like this man. It was a particularly awful and gruesome thing that Pilate had done. It was beyond what he should have done as a governor, and there was no justice in it. And therefore, people might well have had a mind to avenge themselves. They had brought sacrifices to the Lord. Now let's hope that these sacrifices were being made in a proper way. They were perhaps known to be rebels, even as, if you like, the government is well aware of those who have insurrection in their hearts in this land and in America. So that when they came to Jerusalem to offer sacrifice, rightly or wrongly, they were suspected. And the phrase that they use, they told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. They were offering a bloody sacrifice to God in accordance with the command, and their own blood had been mixed with it. So there's another strand here. If you are who you are, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are the Son of God, these men were worshipping you, and they were worshipping your father, and they were about the father's business, and they were cruelly murdered there and then. What are you going to do about it? And Jesus, with the eternal good of mankind in his heart, deflects and answers the question that would be in so many minds. Do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? The popular view said, as it still does, that if bad things happen to people, it's what they deserve. There's no smoke without fire. Bad things don't come across to good people. Well, they do, of course. But this would be the popular theology. But furthermore, because these men were the public face of the fanatics of Galilee, it could be said that maybe they were sinners above the Galileans. Or maybe it could be said that they represented them in an unofficial sort of way. But Jesus is probing deeper than that. He asks them, were these Galileans sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered these things? And then Jesus says, they weren't, you know. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus is now addressing mankind, but all the Galileans. The Galileans whom he lived among and worked among and ministered among. The Galileans who have been witness of this scene, and the Galileans who were represented. And he says to them, you shall all likewise perish. All of you are sinners. Not one of you is a sinner in one sense above any other sinners. But every single person of mankind is a sinner and under the wrath of God. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. They perished, and you are thunderstruck, you are awestruck, you think of injustice, you think of this or that. But all of you are going to be caught unawares. Unless there is repentance. Now, of course, Jesus doesn't mean when he says you shall all likewise perish that every one of you is going to be murdered while you're sacrificing. He doesn't mean that whether you're sacrificing or not, every one of you is going to be murdered. By likewise, he means suddenly and unpreparedly. Speaking of the second coming, the Lord says that that day will be like a snare and it will catch many unawares. And Jesus is saying that the vast majority of people shall be caught unawares by death. And when death comes, they shall perish. That is to say, they shall not be saved. Their souls will not go to be with the Lord, but their souls will go to hell. But it will be a sudden. They will not be ready for it. They will not have considered it. Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans? No. But you will all perish. Likewise, mankind is perishing. And these events, properly considered, are a warning to those who observe. These events are not that we might look on and think how unjust God is, or they're not that we might look on and think, well, that's them, but that's not us. It is that we might consider how we stand before God. And that death will come to us all. And without repentance, it will find us all unprepared to face God. And death, when it comes, comes suddenly. Except ye repent. The Greek word is metanoia, and it means a change of mind, or a change of heart, as we would say. But of course, in scripture terms, it has this added content, not just of a change of heart that might occur to a natural man who's seen some error in his ways, but that change which is so fundamental and worked only by the Spirit to change the nature and the life of a soul, to bring them to Christ and to bring them to their senses and to bring them to the Saviour's feet to see his vicarious atonement on Calvary. But the word repent in English is also a very interesting. Re means again, as you know. And pent has a root word which is derived from a word to think, which we get pensive. But more basically still, that is derived from the word pendo or pendio, meaning to hang or to weigh in the balances. That's the origin of the Latin word to think. To weigh up. To consider. And repenting is reconsidering. weighing up again. And again, the overturns, of course, in Scripture, is that the weighing up is prompted by the Lord. And that the turning is turning from an old way and utterly rejecting it, and turning now through the Saviour to the Father on high. From darkness into light. From the old lusts and the old ways and the old selfishnesses and all the things that our human nature is heir to the holinesses and the attributes and the characters and the nature of God. From death into life, where there was no spark before God, where there was no interest in God, where there was no desire towards Him. Now there is a longing, and a meeting, and a worshipping, and an admiring, but above all a turning to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can atone for the sins of our nature and its past. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then Jesus, repeating the teaching for emphasis, speaks of another situation. What we would call an accidental situation. What the insurers would call an act of God situation. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Now, I don't know if anyone was accountable, whether too many people were standing on the wall or under the wall, whether the wall was badly built. It seems unlikely. But in the true sense of the word, this was accidental. It just happened. Now, although this was, if you like, a city disaster when 18 were killed at once, or when those Galileans were killed in Jerusalem, there's still 18 individual souls dying at one and the same time. And whatever may be the figures of the tsunami and of Haiti, and whatever may be the national interest of that country and the international aid sent, it is still thousands of individual souls dying. It really doesn't make any difference to you when you die, whether you are alone or whether 100,000 others are dying at the same time as you. It is still all about our preparedness for accident or for other people's murderous intents. But Jesus asked the same question. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We are all disasters waiting to happen. We are all accidents waiting to happen. Perhaps that's an unfair thing to say in a way. But none of us knows. We cannot, in God's terms, be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But as humanity looks at things, we could be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And therefore it is very important, because of the uncertainties of life, that every single man, woman, boy and girl in the world should be prepared for their end in this world. That they should have sorted out before the Lord God the issues of life and of death. And they should do it in a biblical way and recognize their sinfulness. line themselves up with the Ten Commandments, line themselves up with many other of the things that are said in Scriptures, of the demands to serve the Lord God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And men and women of all ages and boys and girls, in doing that, will begin to prepare for whatever God has for them in their life. Now, God is in no ways unjust, because all have sinned, and everyone is under the wrath of God, except they repent. And therefore, however they are caught out by life, no unfairness attaches to God. It is mankind who has perverted the gifts of God to their souls and to their lives to suit their own ends and their own private agendas. We've all gone about our own ways. We sought everyone his own way. We've all gone about our own business. We resent it when anything crops up that in any way interferes with that. And even the snow, in a minor way, is considered to be, except by children in their innocence, a major inconvenience. But what are our issues? What is our agenda? But God is not unfair. If he takes away 100,000 at once, or 18 at once, or one person, then the Lord is only revealing what is secretly happening all the time. I can't imagine the figures. They would be available, but I imagine that 100,000 people or more die every day in the normal way of things. And that the Lord here is bringing out into the open, when there is a disaster on this scale, things that man just for once ought to see, as the eyes of Gehazi were open to see the angels that were surrounding them, that were always there, but he never saw them. And all these things are going on around man, but they never see them. But God is fair. God is just. All shall perish except they repent. And they are being given a warning, a wake-up call, by these large, massive scale events. Now, of course, the Lord is full of compassion. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all should know him. But when you think of the millions who are in the world, and the millions who need to be taught, and the millions who need to be given a warning, this is what God is doing. Now, we know from the book of Revelation that the usual response by man is to blaspheme the God who sends these things, to speak evil of him, and not to repent, but rather to be the more angry and to be the more bitter. And the preacher counsels strongly against that. Humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. Humble yourself and repent. Jesus cried out to mankind there to repent and to turn from their ways, lest they should be caught out unexpectedly. Now, we know the thing is true, but we never imagine it'll happen to us. But we do not know what a day may bring. When I was in my first church, where I was converted, we had two leading deacons. Well, there were 21 deacons. It was a church of that sort of size. But two of the most well-known of them, within the space of a year, one went to work a day and never came back. And the other went to work one day and never came back. And I remember how, though I by that time was a believer of probably a year's standing or more, One was a headmaster and one was something in the city. It struck me that a man could go out and never come back. And it's true. Now, in a way, you can't live your life all the time saying, I may go out and never come back. But we may repent. We may turn to the Lord. And we may ask Him to direct our ways. And we may ask Him to work all things together for good. And we may turn to the Saviour and seek His blessing upon our lives without boasting of tomorrow and the prosecution of our own affairs and our own business. There is an issue here also that Psalm 91 raises, and I deliberately chose it. Though a thousand, that's the meaning, though a thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. The truth expressed there in the psalm is a tremendously important truth for the well-being of Christians. But alongside that, we also acknowledge that Christians who are not of the world yet walk in this world. And in the providence of God, they may be caught up in some of the things that affect mankind in this way. It would be foolish to say that because this had happened, there was no Christians caught up in this disaster who died. But of course the Lord Jesus promises that when we are slain, if you like, as martyrs, that we shall not die. We shall not perish in that sense. And so the same hold good here. The fact that there may be Christians caught up in these vast things might be because we are part and parcel of this world. It certainly wouldn't mean that they were under any more sense of sin or of shame than anybody else in the world. It may be that the Lord has vast issues, as we see in the book of Job, that he's seeking to show Satan, that Christians are not spared entirely things that the world has to go through because of their human nature. That if there is a disaster, there will be some of his people in the midst of it. And some may be killed by it, but they're ready, their souls are safe. There will still be the sense of personal loss and a personal tragedy and their family, who may not all be on their side in terms of loving God, will feel their loss. But they have not lost their soul, there is no loss to them. But for the most part, it is generally our experience that we see disaster with our eyes. And the Lord wonderfully and lovingly protects us from it. When we consider these things, we urge men and women to repent. These words of Jesus, uttered in the presence of a death of 18 at one time, and the other number is unknown, puts down principles here that we are all in danger, that we are all under the wrath of God by nature, that death will take us unawares, suddenly in many cases, that we will not be prepared by nature, and unless we repent, unless we turn to God, unless we seek the forgiveness of our sins, unless we beseech Him that he put away his wrath from us for the things that we have done through the blood of Christ. Unless we do these things, we will be caught out as these were. 100,000 precious souls is a large number for us to think about. There were 1 million came against King Asa, and most of that 1 million perished. the Lord has in times past dealt with vast numbers of people. And he does not see mankind in the sort of super sensitive way in which, soft way in which we are inclined to. He asks, do we acknowledge him? Do we put him first? Do we acknowledge his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we acknowledge our sin? Do we come to him for the pardon of our sin? Are we seeking not our interests primarily, but the interests of our Saviour primarily, and the interests of our Heavenly Father primarily? If we are not, then even those with the fairest pretense to be Christians may find that these events are very awkward, even if they don't mean the perishing. It may mean the final end of their business, or of their finance, or of their family, but not of their souls. And Jesus' words stand out. Except ye repent. Not just the Galileans, not just the ones who brought the message, not just the people in Jerusalem who had relatives in that thing, but everyone that he was speaking to there, and through this word down the whole history of mankind, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Do turn to the Saviour. Do seek his pardon. Do follow him. And look for the glory that only he can bestow upon your life. Be sympathetic to those who suffer beyond what you do. Maybe the Lord will lead them to the Saviour that you may know yourself. But be sure that your soul is in a good standing with God. Amen.